We want to look at the first seven verses here in Exodus chapter 17. The children of Israel had journeyed out of the land of Egypt. God had sent Moses down to deliver his people from bondage, and now they were traveling into the wilderness. And they came to a place called the wilderness of Sin and pitched there in Ramoth, and there was no water for the children of Israel to drink. And there's two lessons that we need to try to learn from this particular portion of Scripture. The first one is the depravity of the human nature, the depravity of the human heart. We can see the murmuring and the chiving that the children of Israel did against Moses. Moses had came by the direction of God, and Moses was sent into the land of Egypt, and there he brought the children of Israel out by the hand of God. You remember the story how God sent the plagues and the famines and this and that upon the children of Egypt, or the people of Egypt. And they let the children of Israel go. In fact, if you read the history of them, they loaded them down with goods. The gold that they had, they gave unto them to get them out of there, to get them out of there. But we'll read here the first three verses in Exodus chapter 17. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin, according to their journey, according to the commandments of the Lord, and pitched in Ramothadim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses, or complain, or murmur, is what that word means. That there was no water to drink. And Moses said unto them, Why chive ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses, and said, Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt, to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? This is a picture of you and I. The children of Israel pictures God's people, God's elect people. All through the Old Testament scriptures, we see that the children of Israel, they said they would serve God. God would bless them, give them food, manna, all these things. And in just a few days, they would forsake God. They would forget God. That's a picture of the natural mind, the natural heart that each and every one of us deals with. And Moses said, Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? Why do you tempt God? When we complain and murmur against God, I don't feel good today. I'm sick today. I don't think I'll do this, or I don't think I'll do that. I'm not able. That's murmuring and complaining against God. Everything that we have, God gives us. God gives unto us the breath that we breathe, the health that we have, the family we have, everything that we have is a gift from God. And God blesses us abundantly. He loadeth us daily with benefits. But yet, this human nature, this human flesh that we still have to deal with, murmurs and complains. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 7, he says, And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto my voice. Hearken unto the voice of the people, and all that they have said unto thee, for they have not rejected thee. When we murmur and complain, we're not rejecting the pastor or the preacher of the gospel. We're rejecting God Himself. But they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Let us remember how depraved and how sinful this human nature still is. You say, well, I'm a child of God. I've been changed. God has blessed me. God has given me the Spirit of God to dwell within me. Yes, He does for His people. But yet, this flesh remains the same. If we do not know something of the human nature, the human heart, we would not understand what Jeremiah said when he said in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, he said, The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? This thing that we have to deal with right now, this flesh, this old nature that is still within us, And Paul said, cried out, "His old wretched man that I am." Not that I used to be. This was after Saul had been converted and his name was changed to Paul. Wrote the majority of the New Testament scripture. He says, "Old wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Who's going to deliver me? If we didn't know something about this, we would be at a loss to understand the unbelief that is here still with us. Still with us. The ingratitude that is still here. Still here. The insensibility of these people of God's goodness and faithfulness. How often do we forget God? Robert Murray McShane wrote a chapter in a book. He said, "Why do I forget to pray? Why do I forget to pray?" It's because of the human nature that we still have to deal with. Oh, look back at the children of Israel, how God had blessed them. And look at us, how God has blessed us. God had just brought these people out of bondage. Hard taskmasters ruled over them. They ruled them with an iron fist. They ruled them with the rod of correction. But God sent His apostle, or sent His prophet, His preacher, to deliver them. Is this not a picture of you and I? Sin ruled in our life, in our hearts, and in our mortal beings, and God sent a preacher to preach the gospel to us. And by that preaching of the gospel, now the preacher had nothing to do with it. Don't misunderstand that. This gospel that he sent was delivered by a man. Moses went down, and as the instruction under the instructions of God, he brought those people out. But it was not Moses' power, it was God's power. And so it is with the preaching of the gospel. We uplift the preacher. We magnify the man that preaches the gospel to us because of who he is. He's a preacher of the gospel. He's a servant of God. But in himself, he's just like Moses. Sinful, wretched, and apt to fall, and sure to sin. And God had just led them through the Red Sea. You remember the story how Pharaoh come upon them, and God told Moses Aaron to stretch out his rod, and the sea rolled back, and they went across on dry ground. What a blessing! What a wonder to see these things! And then just a few days later, they began to complain. "We have no food. We have nothing to drink." And God gave them this thing of manna, this bread that just fell from heaven every day. They didn't have to go out and till the ground. They didn't have to do nothing except go out and rake it up and bring it in and eat it. And just a few days later, they complained, we hate this light bread. We hate this manna. Is that not a picture of you and I by nature? Can we see ourselves? Can we see our complainings, our murmurings? Look around us. What God has blessed us with. What God has blessed us with. And often we only see the natural blessing. The outside, or the blessings that everybody can see. But oh, can you remember the guilt of sin that has been removed? This blessing that God has forgiven you your trespasses. And He has forgiven you all your sin. Our daily lives, we have plenty to eat. Most of us has comfort that is indescribable. Most of us has good jobs, good homes to live, decent vehicles to drive. Is these not blessings from God? But yet, at the smallest trial, the smallest infirmities, we complain and murmur. And I ask myself, why? Why? Why is this? After all that God has given me, why do we forget God? It's because of this old flesh. Now, I'm not justifying us forgetting God. Don't misunderstand that. But it's something we're going to have to deal with. It's something we're going to have to deal with. The depravity of the human flesh. Let us learn. Oh, let us learn. From the children of Israel, a needy lesson. Let us not forget God. Let us not forget our Lord. One old writer said, when the clouds of trials come, whether they be dark, stormy clouds, or just a brief shower, we murmur. It don't take much for me to complain. It don't take much for me to be dissatisfied. But let us learn. Our Lord and our God has blessed us abundantly. We should never, never, never complain or murmur in any degree. But yet we do. No wonder Paul wrote unto us in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12, he said, take heed, brethren, take heed, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Take heed. Make sure that there is no unbelief in you. How do we do this? We do this by leaning upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Every hour of every day, every moment and every way, let us lean upon Christ, depend upon Christ, look to Him, and worship Him for who He is. The children of Israel here, if you read Exodus chapter 16, it deals with what shall we eat? What shall we eat? Exodus chapter 17 deals, what am I going to drink? What am I going to drink? After these things, the Scripture says, the heathen seek. But we be the children of God. We be those that are regenerated by the Holy Spirit. We be those that are washed under the blood of Christ. We be those that have been redeemed from our sin. So what should we seek after? What should we seek after? The Scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these other things, whatever they are, food, raiment, drink, possession shall be added unto you. But first, seek ye the kingdom of God and His righteousness. One old writer said, there's nothing that exceeds the wickedness of a human heart except the abundant grace of God. Where grace did abound, or where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. You say, well, the more I sin, the more grace God's going to give me. That's not what He's talking about here. The deeper we fall into sin, the deeper the pit that we fall into, God's grace is sufficient to bring us up. He comes to where we are, and He picks us up, and He brings us out of this miry pit of clay, and He puts us, in the place and standing that we are, standing there robed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, standing there having all His goodness about me, standing there able to appease God in and through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. When God looks upon us, He sees the blood of Christ, and He says, when I see the blood, I shall be satisfied. My wrath has gone over thee. My condemnation has been spent upon your Redeemer, and now I have no fault with you. That's our standing before God right now, standing in the Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing greater than our sins is God's grace to us. The children of Israel sought for things of the flesh. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Let us not be so. Let us not be so. Let us seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto us. Now look at verse 4 down through verse 6. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with thee the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smote the river, take it in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock of Horeb. And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of all, in sight of the elders of Israel. Make this event so special. So special. What makes this event so special? What is there about this smitten rock that is so special? Paul answers this question in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. He said that rock was Christ. That rock was Christ. This brings us to our second lesson. First, we learn the depravity of the human nature, the human heart. Second, we learn where the blessings of God is to be found. Where is God's blessings to be found? Is it in my doings or my not doings? Is it in my beings or my not being? It's found only in Christ. The only place that they could find water was in this rock. And that rock was Christ. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock of Horeb. And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. The children of Israel thought, no doubt, that they would perish. No perish. They would perish. If we don't have a supply of water, I believe, if I understand some of the historical facts, we can only live a certain amount of days without water. Our blood veins begin to close up, and we begin to get dehydrated and this and that. I don't know how far along the children of Israel was. Probably not very far. They probably just run out of water a day or so before that. But they begin to chive. What are we going to drink? What are we going to drink? All hope was gone. There was no water. All hope was gone. Where there's no water, there's no life. And I'm sure that the children of Israel ran to every place that looked like would be water. If they seen a tree or a shrubbery, they run to it and begin to dig. That's also a picture of you and I. We ran to the church. We ran to a profession. We ran to an altar. We ran to our works. But there was no life there to be found. No water there to be found. Nothing but dry thirst and a barren profession. David said in Psalm chapter 63 and verse 1, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live, I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember. When do we do this? When I remember. When I remember thee upon my bed, a bed of affliction, a bed of rest, a bed of trials, a bed of thirst, whatever it was. We often forget God. But when he calls these things to our remembrance, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on these things in the night watch, because thou hast been my helper, therefore in the shadow of thy wings shall I rejoice. The human well is dry. The human well is dry. My works is not sufficient. My doings is not sufficient to receive the blessings of God. The religious well is dry. We can run to this religion or that religion and we find nothing but a dry, dry, dry place. The philosopher well is dry. Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to straighten my life up. I'm going to get my life into a shape that God will accept me. That's a dry, dead place. There's nothing that we can do. Nothing that we can say. Nothing that this world offers that will appease God. The only thing that will appease God is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. That rock was Christ. And God was pleased to bring water out of that rock. And God is pleased to bring His blessings unto His people in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is a rock. There is a rock. There is a rock. In a weary land. And its shadows falls upon the burning sand. A place of rest. A place of comfort. In appearance, it's only a rock. I'm sure the children of Israel looked at it and said, well, I don't see no water there. I don't see any water there. It's a dry and thirsty land. And that rock is a dry, barren rock. With anointed eyes, one can never see. Or without anointed eyes, one can never see the beauty, the power, the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. And without anointed eyes, Moses could have stood there before the people and they could see no water. But when Moses lifted his rod and he smote that rock, there came the water. It's hard to see how this dry, thirsty, or dry rock can picture our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. But it does. It does. Look at the rock. A rock is an unlikely thing to give water. It's only a rock. But that rock was God's rock. That makes a difference. That was God's rock. The world saw only a man when our Lord came. They said, we know him. We know his father. We know his mother. He's a carpenter from the Nazareth. We know all about him. They saw only a man. And without anointed eyes, that's the only thing that you and I can see. But God. Oh, but God. This rock was the rock that God had anointed. Our Lord and Savior was the Son that God had anointed. This rock was the rock that God had appointed to give water to save much people. Our Lord is the rock, the person, the man that God had appointed to save much people from their sins. To wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He has reconciled us to God in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Another way this rock pictures our Lord, the rock was smitten. The rock was smitten. There was no water coming forth from the rock until Moses smote it with his rod. They could have stood there all day. They could have offered every prayer that they could think about. No water. Until God told Moses, smite that rock. And that water came forth for the children of Israel, God's elect. So our Lord Jesus Christ was smitten, scourged, and crucified, that His precious blood may flow, that it may flow forth as a redemption of His people. That rock was Christ, smitten, smitten. We read in Isaiah 53, a very familiar portion of Scripture, surely He has borne our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. As He hung there between heaven and earth, there on the cross, it pleased God. I don't understand these things. I I see through a glass dimly or darkly. But the Scripture tells us it pleased God that this man, the only Son of God, should hang there and be smitten and afflicted. I know men smote upon him, they spit upon him, they plucked his hair, they put that crown of thorn upon him, but it was God's punishment. It was God's punishment that brought forth the blood of Christ. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. What did that rock do? It stood there silent. Same as our Lord Jesus Christ. He hung there in silence under the wrath and penalty of God. That rock stood there, and as Moses brought out his rod and he smote that rock, it never changed that rock. It didn't say, oh, it didn't crack and water came out of it. Water just came out of it. I don't understand that. That's hard to imagine. But that's the way God works. This is God's work. And as our Lord Jesus Christ hung there between heaven and earth, he never cried or complained. He never said all these things. He said, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? And he did God forsook him to whatever point that can be understood, that he may die under the wrath and penalty of God. Where God is, there is life. And without this, without God, there is no life. And when God withdrew himself to whatever point you may understand it to be, that's the reason that life went out of him. Because God forsook him. And God laid upon him the wrath of condemnation against sin. And he suffered there. And the Scripture says that soul that sinneth, it must surely die. And there he died under the wrath and penalty of God against my sin. And now he is risen, ascended, and seated on high. As a picture of Christ, this rock was smitten for a rebellious people. So it was with our Lord. We don't need to dress up Israel again. They were a sinful, sinful people. And so are you and I. We may dress up and put a suit on Sunday, but we're still the same. We're still the same. They were dead in our sin, or in their sin, same as we are. And they could do nothing about it, the same as you and I cannot. The only way that we can have rest, peace, and comfort in our soul is looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The only way the people could get water was for Moses to smite that rock, and there it came. Oh, it came out to where historians said there was probably 3 million people journeying there in the wilderness, plus all their cattle and their animals and their horses and their camels and their cattle. They all drank of this rock. That shows the abundant mercy of God. That shows the abundant grace. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And did you notice this? That rock followed them. It wasn't just there one time. That rock followed them through the wilderness until they entered into the land of Canaan. That rock followed them, and they drank of that rock. They drank of it every day, for ever how many days it was that they traveled. And it never rained dry. That's a picture of God's mercy unto us. That's a picture of God's grace unto us, that he will never run dry. We cannot out-sin God's mercy and God's grace. Oh, we sin and come short of the glory of God daily. But God said, my grace is sufficient to cover a multitude of sin. He said, well, if I believe that, I just go out and sin all I wanted to every day. Brother Henry said, if you believe that, If you believe that Christ or God's grace is sufficient to save you, he said, you'll sin a whole lot more than you want to. That rock followed them. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, as we read a while ago, Paul said, and all drink the same spiritual drink. They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. That rock followed them through the wilderness, over the hills, through the valleys, wherever they went, that rock was there to give them water. Wherever we go, our Lord is there to give us life, give us peace, and give us comfort. So Christ is our fountain of life and the source of all grace through the wilderness of this world until we come into the heavenly Canaan. Just as this rock is in the wilderness, provides water, life for the people of God, so the rock of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, provides water, life for us. Life. There's life in Him. There's life to be found in Him. He is the giver of life. Our water is the word of life right here. He gives it unto us daily, every hour of every day. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, he said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That rock was Christ, and he gives unto me all I need. All I need. Look to the rock, look to Christ, and be ye saved. Thank you.